Hey, welcome to the Pachanga and Possibility Podcast, the podcast where we celebrate the power of healing and transformation. I am your host, Natalie Calzadilla. Each week, I'll be interviewing experts that will inspire you to discover your soul's purpose and create a fulfilling life. I'll also be sharing some spiritual coaching along the way and personal adventures as I enter this new phase in my life as a mother and entrepreneur. All right, mi gente, grab your cafecito and a notebook. Let's get started. Welcome to Pachanga and Possibility. Today we are talking about all things Oracle decks with the CEO and founder of Wonderland Publishing. I found Anna through a podcast. So I was interested in learning how to publish an Oracle deck, and I just went into Apple Podcasts and I typed in literally how to publish an Oracle deck. And her interview came out and I found it fascinating. And I went to her Instagram and I followed her on Instagram. I've been following her for about a year. And then all of a sudden, she popped up on my feed with this latest deck that she's working on called the Caregiver's Oracle deck. And I was breathtaking by the artwork. So I was just like, oh my God. And right now that deck really resonated with me, and we can get into that later. But I was just like, wow, this is a beautiful deck. And how do we do this? And I just wanted to get into all the details about publishing an Oracle deck, because I feel like everyone in my spiritual community wants to publish an Oracle deck right now. And it's just, I know it's in the hearts of a lot of people that I know, and I want to be able to, for you to guide them through that process and where to start and how to do everything. So without any further ado, Miss Anna Frolic, can you please introduce yourself to the audience?
Thank you so much for inviting me. First of all, I'm so excited to be here on your podcast today. As you already said, I am the founder and CEO of Wonderland Publishing, but that's really just the surface. I actually am just a multi-passionate entrepreneur and creative who loves to do a lot of things. And so I've also been on a spiritual journey for a long time. And I know you mentioned in our quick chat before we started talking that you're really interested in entrepreneurship as well. And so that's been a long journey for me too. And I'm actually really excited to talk about that part of the story as well. And like creating a business following our soul's passions and calling. And I currently live on beautiful Vancouver Island in British Columbia, which is like my favorite place to be in the whole world. I love spending a lot of time in nature and connecting with the elementals. And yeah, so there's a lot more I could say, but that's it in a nutshell. To give you a quick idea of who I am and who you're talking to.
Thank you for that. And you're originally from Switzerland?
Yes, that is true. I was born there, and nice. I came to Canada as a child with my parents when I was 11, almost 12. But it's been a long journey of traveling and moving, and but I have been back in Canada permanently since 2012.
And I have enough for maybe some lineage, something, but I always end up connected to people and everything that's specific to Canada, whether it's teachers or shows or anything. And it's just beautiful. The landscape is amazing. And when I saw that you were in Vancouver Island, I was like going through the hashtag and looking at everything. And I was like, oh my God, it's just so beautiful there. I do want to ask you a question about your last name. So your last name is pronounced Frolic?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. I am jealous that you get that last name. I wish that my last name was Frolic, because I like to frolic. Like, that's just like the energy of just the last name, like just frolicking in the forest, and you have all that fairy energy, and it's just and the elementals, I think it's like the most cutest, amazing thing.
And so, yeah, we keep wondering where that name comes from. It's actually, my dad was born in former Czechoslovakia, so the name is from there, but we believe that originally it's probably more Germanic, so it might actually mean exactly what it means in English.
And so, okay, so let's get into your journey. So first you started your publishing company, and what was the birth of that? Because you were previously in like marketing, I believe, right? You were in a creative career, and then you decided to jump ship and do the entrepreneurship, and you wanted to open your own publishing company, and you did. So like, what was that process like?
So I didn't go straight from corporate into publishing, but I had wanted to be my own boss for a long time, even when I was still in university, that was like something that I was really envisioning for myself because I wanted to have more freedom to travel and put my own creative ideas into action. My first business was actually a copywriting business, so I took what I knew from corporate and turned that into my own business. And so that was kind of my first real experience of entrepreneurship. And I was pretty successful pretty quickly. And I quit my corporate job and had my first client right away. And so everything worked out really well in a lot of ways. But after about a year, I really started hitting a wall where I just felt like something was missing. And I'm not sure you're still there. Can you still hear me?
I'm still here.
Not seeing
Yeah.
your video.
The connection's a little
Okay.
spotty. Yeah, I can hear you.
It seems to be. Anyway, I'll just continue. So I just returned from a trip to Iceland, and when it was time to get back to work, I was just feeling a lot of resistance to continuing moving forward on that path. And initially, I thought maybe I just wanted more time freedom or more freedom to travel, and I started exploring different ways of freeing up time, like creating more passive income and products. But then that search really led to a spiritual awakening. Eventually, I just started asking those questions: what do I really want? What do I really need on my journey to feel happy and fulfilled? And while I was doing research for an ebook that I wanted to write, the topic of angels suddenly came to me because that was like one of the topics that just had fascinated me pretty much my entire life. And then I was writing notes and just brainstorming, and all of a sudden I heard my like it was like my guides started talking to me, and I was like channeling what they were saying, and that just changed everything like super quickly. And I started working with the angels, started doing intuitive work, and got my angel therapy certifications. And yeah, so one thing led to the next, but initially, my spiritual business was really intuitive work, working with angels and cards and doing healing work. And then the creative side of me wanted to come back in, and because I loved working with oracle cards, I think, yeah, it didn't take long for me to have that idea to create my own deck, because I was working with other people's decks. And then I started researching, how can I do this? What printers could I use to print my own deck? And so I just started working on my own deck. So this was the result of it, the magical heart healing cards, still my favorite of all the decks I've created. And
How many decks have you
yeah,
created so far?
I mean, so many. For myself, I have three that I've actually gotten printed. There are a few that I have in digital form, but then I have probably about 50 that I've designed for my clients too. And Yeah. So anyway, once I published my own first deck, then people started asking questions, and I had the idea to create a course about creating decks. And since 2019, I've been actually doing the work for clients too.
Nice. That's awesome. So you started creating decks for other people. And at what time was the publishing company born in that process?
Yeah, that was actually pretty early. That was in 2012 after I came back to Canada. I had completely cut cords with everything in Europe. So I'd actually, you know, just sold all my belongings, and I had all my belongings in a suitcase and carry on and was traveling the world. But then I ended up coming back here, and pretty soon after I came back, I wanted to continue doing my work. So I started my own business here, and that was the publishing business was born at that time. But it has definitely evolved over the years. So first it was more to publish my own products like card decks and guided meditations and courses. And then what I'm doing now, I'm going to start it taking shape in 2019.
And so what you're doing now is that offering the one-on-one services to help clients birth their decks and publish them?
Yes. So I still have the courses too in my own products, but that's pretty much been the main part of my business for the past 4.5 years. It's going to be 5 very soon. So basically done free work and coaching. And so I customize packages based on my clients' needs and what exactly they want to create.
Nice. Okay. So where does a person begin? So when it comes to wanting to create their oracle deck, they have it in their heart. Because I feel like there's two paths, right? There's, let's say, the person who's the author of the deck and where their journey begins, and the artist who wants to illustrate a deck and where does the artist's journey begin. So I'd love to address both, because I feel like usually the conversations for the author, when you look up and research how to publish decks, it's always around, you know, the author's journey. But what about the illustrator's journey? So we can talk about those two points.
Yeah, so it really depends on the person. I have some people who come to me, you know, who are artists as well. So they bring their own artwork and their own writing, and I just help them put everything together into a finished physical product and launch it into the world. And most of my clients, though, are not designers, so they, you know, they also want the art done and the whole design and everything. And initially I did all the work myself, because I'm actually an artist too, and a designer and a writer, so I was able to combine all those skills to, you know, serve my clients in that way. But I did start to hit a limit, because I mean, it's just the nature of done for you work. There's only so much you can do on your own. So since early 2022, I've been collaborating with other designers and artists. So when somebody comes to me and they haven't really started creating anything yet, the first step will usually be finding an artist to collaborate with. And so we just kind of outline, you know, the style that they're looking for. Sometimes we might create a vision board on Pinterest just to get an idea of, you know, what they're really envisioning. And then sometimes I'll have someone I already know, one of my designers in-house, who can deliver exactly what my client is looking for. And sometimes I might just have to go and do some research and contact some people. And so that's how we onboard the artist. And then, so after that, we create the whole package for the whole project. And then we usually have a team collaboration space in Slack where we all, you know, interact and communicate and bring the project to life.
And so you have the artist, you lock down the style. Now, the bird's eye view of like the journey, it's like, when do we create the content for the cards and what are the challenges around that? And then
finding, you said also, you mentioned in one of the interviews I heard about how important it is to pick your publisher ahead of time, because everything, like, you have to get the design specs like very clear up front. If not, you might end up stuck redesigning everything all over again if you change printers and stuff, like something to that effect.
Yes. So the content and the printing are two separate pieces, but I'll just briefly go into the printing part because that's pretty quick to answer. So there's actually a difference between publishers and printers. The publishing part is what I do, but or you could also work with a traditional publisher or simply self-publish. So I help my clients self-publish their work, and they can do that with their own ISBN numbers or through me. But maybe we can go into that a little bit more a little bit later. It's a bit technical, but yeah, so it is important to pick your printer ahead of time, ideally, because not every printer is going to be able to produce exactly what you're looking for. So the first step really is to get clear on also what you want your deck to look like physically. You know, what kind of box do you want? Like, here's an example of a deck with a tuck box, which is something that a lot of printers can produce. And then if you want something like this with the classic two-piece box, like these, a lot of the Hay House decks and yeah, right, it will kind of look like this. Or here's another one kind of with a magnetic book style box that opens on the side. So the more customized and yeah, like the more special features you want to have, the more limited you'll be in a way. You know, I don't want to say limited, but there are just certain printers, especially if you want to work with a printer here, let's say in the US or in Canada or in Europe or whatever, it's going to be really hard to find a printer that can produce something like this, especially this quality.
That deck is beautiful.
But yeah, so anyway, online. Yeah, so it's just really helpful to connect with a printer early on to know, you know, can they actually produce what I'm looking for? Also to have an idea of the price point and the investment, but also to get the templates for the design early in the process, because if you don't have the correct templates or the correct dimensions, then you might just have to kind of redo everything all over again once it's time to get the deck printed. And what was the second part? Preparing the content. So some of my clients, yeah, come to me, you know, with their guidebook already written and the content for the cards. And then we just start the editing process right away. And some of my clients are really just getting started. So I walk them through the process of creating their guidebook. And but either way, I mean, there will be a creative process of also editing the guidebook, and I'll go in with some developmental edits at first and usually complete some pieces that almost everyone misses. Things like, you know, the author bio in the back of the book or the, you know, the blurb on the back of the box and things like that. So kind of complete all those pieces and just make sure everything is professionally edited. And then we also proofread at the end. So quality is really important to me. And that's just something that is a must for me. Like, I won't publish anything that hasn't gone through that complete process.
Do clients come to you sometimes with just an idea and they haven't written anything out, but they just know they want to make a deck?
Yes, that definitely happens. So the very minimum that I need in the very beginning is a clear vision and a clear idea. We can work with that as long as we know, you know, how many cards are we going to create? What's the style you're looking for the artwork? What do you want your deck to look like? You know, what kind of box are you going to include? A booklet? How much content is there going to be? Is it going to be a very tiny instructions booklet or, you know, full length guidebook? So as long as we have those details, and of course the topic and you know, who am I creating this for, then that's pretty much all we need to get started. And
okay, great.
If you've already created something, then you can work with that as well. Yes, but often these are my favorite projects, really, because then we can really start from, you know, from the beginning, and we don't have to go fix things that may have already been created, but that weren't created properly. And sometimes it's more time consuming or tedious in a way to work with, you know, half finished decks that, you know, weren't really started with a clean concept, or maybe, you know, somebody tried to DIY something in Canva. Sometimes that can be pretty tedious to fix. That makes sense.
Yeah, I definitely understand that. And I can imagine that also maybe you can do a consult session if they haven't fleshed anything out, and then revisit and just be like, all right, you know, like help them kind of do a little bit of like the visioning. And then when they are ready, they can come back with like all the content finished or most of it, instead of like having to like tediously like bring them along. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, we always start with a free consultation. We just meet for half an hour to outline the vision for the deck, and then I prepare a proposal for the whole package, and then we usually start pretty quickly, unless I don't have any space in my schedule, which like at times I've been fully booked for almost like a year at a time, so the waiting times have sometimes been quite long, but when I do have space, then I actually like to get started pretty quickly. So my clients can actually write the guidebook while we're already working together. And usually, you know, that will give the artist time to work on the art while we're working on the content. So the art is usually the most time consuming.
You can understand that. Okay, so let's say the deck is done, the art is done, all the content's done, it's getting ready to be, now it's like you're waiting because it's getting printed and everything. Now, how do you help your clients get the deck out into the world, and what are the different ways? Because I know there's like traditional publishing versus the self-publishing. So like, what do the different ways look like?
Yeah, so my specialty is really helping my clients self-publish their work, so they, you know, they remain in control of what they've created. It's their product. They get to keep all the profits of, you know, their sales. And occasionally I'll have someone who, you know, has a dream of maybe getting published by Hay House or another traditional publisher. I will say that usually it doesn't happen. It can be very time consuming and, you know, a lot of trial and error. Like, you have to submit a lot of proposals usually to get accepted by a traditional publisher, and it can take a lot of time. And if you don't already have like a huge audience or some kind of following, then more often than not, you'll just get a lot of rejections. And also you don't really have a lot of control over your work, because like most of the traditional publishers will, you know, probably want to edit the guidebook some more, or change some of the content, or even change the art completely, or things like that. So I usually work with people, you know, who love having that amount of creative control. Like, I'm really here to support them in bringing their vision to life. So most of my clients choose to self-publish, and they're,
so if they don't have a publishing company like Hay House to put it out into the world, like a big platform like that, then how do they successfully self-publish a deck when they have a very small platform? Like, how do we get it out into the world and make it profitable?
Yeah. Okay. So one part of publishing is, you know, it's actually really simple thing, but it's important. Like, you need to have an ISBN number on the back of your box or somewhere on your box, so that you can get your deck listed with distributors or listed on Amazon and that kind of thing. And my clients can either get their own, like they can register as a publisher and get their own ISBN, or they can get it through me, through basically Wonderland Publishing. So the deck would be published by Wonderland Publishing officially. But the rest really is, yeah, like outlining a launch and marketing strategy, or also strategy for sales, basically based on exactly, you know, what my client is looking for, what they're looking to create in their business. And that will be very unique for every single client. So some clients are more on the product-based business side. They might want to create a product-based business and not just have one deck, but many decks that they're selling, or also other products. And then we'll focus more on that part. You know, how do I get my product-based business up and running? You know, what platforms am I going to use to sell my deck? Am I going to create maybe a Shopify store, or sell my deck on Etsy or on Amazon, or a combination of those things? And then some clients are more service-based business owners, like a lot of coaches or healers who might already be offering services or coaching packages and things like that. And then the deck might be more of an entry-level product for them, you know, that is more accessible for a larger audience, so they can increase their exposure and use the deck more as a lead magnet, not just for profit, reach new people and get them interested in their work. And so depending on what exactly their business model is, we will map out a strategy that works for them. And then also looking at everyone's unique strengths and also where they're at in their business right now. So the strategy will be different for someone who's just getting started, who doesn't yet have an audience, versus someone who, you know, has a mailing list of 30,000 people. Their launch will look very different. So we'll really look at where does it make sense to invest your energy right now to get the deck out there, to also grow your following if you need to do that. So if that's an issue, then we'll combine the strategies in such a way that you can do both at the same time. So does that answer your question?
It does. It does. Just some clarification on if they publish through you versus self-publish, what is the end result? Like, what's the difference? Like, are you responsible for getting the deck out there if you're the publishing company, versus like they're responsible for getting it out there if they self-publish? Is that the difference?
Like, whether they get their ISBN number from me or under their own publishing label, it doesn't really matter so much. It's really just a formality. So the process of getting it out there will be very similar. The only thing is, sometimes it is helpful to have a publisher label on the deck, because some distributors or wholesalers might be more willing to invest in a product that, you know, has kind of the label of a larger company on the back, even if it's just, if it just, you know, looks better or sounds better. But so that can be an advantage. But other than that, my clients get to keep all their profits, and they're also responsible for their own marketing long term. Although I do see this changing in the future, I do feel like, you know, I do have a vision for also becoming more of a traditional publisher, but also innovating. So, you know, kind of looking at ways to combine what I'm doing now and maybe some of the more traditional publishing methods. So my clients still have, you know, a certain amount of control over what they're creating, because that's really important to me. So definitely still being able to support my clients and bring their vision to life, and not just saying, okay, thank you for your manuscript, we're just going to change it in whatever way we want to. And then, you know, in the end you get like 10% royalties. for each sale. So, yeah, so that's what it would look like if you went with a traditional publisher usually. And then you'll still be responsible for a lot of your own marketing, because the reality is that most, even Hay House, or, you know, like Blue Angel or those large publishers, if you don't have, you know, a massive audience already, they won't necessarily promote your work in the same way or push it as much as, yeah, like if you're just getting started, then.
I have a friend who kind of self-published through Hay House, because you can also self-publish through Hay House, and it's definitely not the same energy and attention and experience. It wasn't the most positive thing. So I know what you mean. So when in the theme of like, how do we get the decks out there? How do we get the decks out there? Like, is it, you know, what does distribution look like for somebody who has like zero business background whatsoever? It's like, how do we get this self-published deck now from my hands, from literally like my garage into all the shops across America or metaphysical stores? Like, what does that process look like?
Okay. So one level would be, you know, selling directly to your customers, and we've already kind of covered that. So that would be kind of offering your deck on your own website through maybe Shopify, Etsy, Amazon, so on. But if you want to get your deck into retail stores, again, there are different levels. Some, like most of my clients, will start maybe with local stores, and you can go there in person, and that can help to get things moving a little bit too, because local stores are usually really supportive, and also, you know, it kind of helps you get out of your comfort zone and start talking to people about your deck and create some interest. And so there you might be able to, you know, just have some type of agreement with local stores, like a wholesale contract, or sometimes also consignment. But of course, you won't be able to do that for stores worldwide, because it's going to be very time consuming. So if you want to get your deck into retail stores all across your country or worldwide, then you'll have to work with a distributor or several distributors that specialize in. They're kind of a middleman between you and retail stores. So there are, you know, distributors in different countries. You just cut out for a second. Can you repeat that?
Oh, are Fair, is the company, the wholesalers Fair and New Leaf, are they considered distributors or wholesalers, or what's the difference?
So New Leaf is a distributor, and they specialize in metaphysical books and also products like card decks. They are currently going through kind of a transitional phase. They just merged their warehouses and actually kicked out a lot of people. So we're kind of looking into finding a new distributor for the United States specifically, because they were really the best for the US, or the just for metaphysical products, pretty much the only one in the US. But there are other book distributors in the US that just don't specialize in metaphysical topics. So a distributor like New Leaf, and there are similar distributors in other countries, like here in Canada, we have Dempsey in Vancouver, and then there are a couple in Australia, and there's some in Europe too. But so they actually manage the process of distributing products to retail stores. So they'll list your deck in their catalog, and then retailers can order through the distributor, so you don't have to handle that part. Actually, a wholesale marketplace, which is a little bit different. So they provide the platform for you to connect with potential retailers who want to buy your deck from you, but you will still manage communication with those people. So it's just you know, it's maybe a little bit easier than creating your own wholesale system on your own website if you just want to have that a little bit more automated. And they also provide a platform for you, like basically a marketplace for others to find your deck or your product. And they specialize in handmade and independently created products. So they're a little bit like Etsy for wholesale, if that makes sense. But they still order directly from you. They don't order from Fair, if that makes sense. They only just provide the platform to create the connection.
Okay. Thanks for explaining that. Because I've heard of Fair in many different contexts for wholesale, but I've never been in Fair, so I don't know how it works. And I know that one of the metaphysical shops by my house uses Fair to order a lot of their merchandise for their stores. So I was like, oh, is this like a good place to list these decks and be able to reach these shops nationwide? Did I cut out?
Yes, now I can hear you. I probably didn't hear the few last sentences.
Oh, okay. Yeah, So for those that are watching or listening, I'm using a new recording platform, and this is why like the last three interviews have been a little wonky. I'm kind of getting sick and tired of the issues with these people. I'm going to switch platforms, or I appreciate everybody's patience with any weirdness in the recording. So what I had said was that I have been on Fair before, and I know the metaphysical store by my house uses Fair to order a lot of their merchandise in the store. And I was like, when I saw it listed on your website for people to order your clients' decks, I was like, oh wow, is this how one of the ways that a lot of people get their decks distributed across the country into stores is by having their deck on Fair?
Well, Fair is a bit of a newer thing, so I don't think there are like that many people using it. Like most traditional publishers won't necessarily use Fair, but it is another option that more recently I've encouraged my clients to look into, even though one thing I've heard recently is that they're actually putting people on a waiting list right now. So I'm not sure. When I signed up for Fair last year, I got accepted immediately, but right now I'm not sure how long it might take to actually get in. So yeah, there are definitely some hurdles to work through, but you can always create your own wholesale system too.
And I got put on the wait list actually for Fair, trying to put some of my art and merchandise on there. There's someone in the audience actually who Heath mentioned. They said, we sell a lot of good amount of decks on Fair. So, and they also mentioned they use crowdfunding for their decks. So that's good information.
Hey, Heath. he's my business partner. We're creating something new together right now. Yeah.
Oh, nice. I love it. Hi, Heath. Nice to meet you. Cool. Great. So, hi. Do you want to be on the interview too? Like, we can invite him also if you want to ask questions. Okay. Heath, I sent you a link in the chat if you want to pop into the interview. I've never done this with a third person, but we're just going to start a party now. And so we're getting towards the end of my questions. And what's the hardest thing about publishing a deck?
Dude, it works.
Nice little party.
Hello. That was unexpected. Yeah. What's going on?
I can't see him. He goes, tissue, what should I do? How's
your I am getting some lag on my end. So just,
it says, hold on. It
just
says,
to let you know if I can't like hear.
Hey. It says, Heath has Riverside open in other tabs. Ask Heath to close all other browser tabs with Riverside.
I have done that already.
All right, cool. Perfect. So I'm late. Hi, nice to meet you, Heath.
Yeah, you too. So, I've been in and out because it like, just kicked me out a couple times, but I've heard a good amount. So.
Oh, no. All right, good. Do you want to just briefly introduce yourself?
Oh yeah, I'm Heath. Anna and I work on, we're building out like a deck creators community together. And I am the co-founder at a company called Rage Create. So I write, and my team, like, we do writing and designing so far of mainly affirmation and Oracle decks. And it's been since about 2000. I think I launched my first one in 2017 or 18. And it's been awesome. It's been life-changing for sure. So I've done really well on crowdfunding, which is why I put that through there. I think it's a great way to launch decks. And then, yeah, I just mentioned there that fair is something that I did get into early, Anna. And it seems like it picks up more and more. Like more and more people are onboarding stores, as you had mentioned, are using it more and more. And so it's becoming like a new age type of distributor almost, I think. And it's been pretty effective.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it.
Okay. Yeah. We're on a little delay. Okay. So I'm just going to make sure I wait like 5 seconds after I've stopped talking so that I can hear a reply.
Yes, I'm doing the same thing. I am overusing this platform. So I apologize for all the little, again, for the quirkiness and the delays, but we're going to roll with it. And thank you for your patience, because there's nothing more annoying than technical difficulties in a really good conversation. Okay, so Anna, I had seen in one of the posts on your Instagram that some of the types of success that your clients had were around, like, they were able to sell out on their decks by the first day. They got endorsement from like a Hay House author. They had no social media platform, not a big social media platform, and were still able to sell successfully and quickly, something about even over 6 figures. I think I might have read, if I didn't read that correctly, correct me. So if you can just tell me like about the success stories and what those posts were about.
Yeah, so what you're talking about is actually a really good example of how everyone works differently, you know, how everyone starts with a different kind of foundation, also has different goals. And so for each of these clients, we really customized the strategy based on where they were at in their journey and also based on their goals and their strengths. So typically, I will say those who sell out very quickly are, of course, business owners that already have an established following and, you know, who are usually already selling other products or services. And so those who sold out pretty much right away, you know, were people who already had a following of people who were really excited to, you know, about the product. But of course, it also speaks to the quality of the product and what we created together. And so it's an example of, you know, really nailing what the audience is looking for and what they're interested in purchasing. So this one client, well, I have a few clients who sold out like pretty much within days, but we created several decks together, like pretty much in the beginning when I just got started, and like every time they sold out like pretty much immediately and had to order more. And that was actually with a small audience, even I think she said like 200 or 300 people in their Facebook group, and it just kind of went viral almost. But now, yeah, I mean, she also has a large following on Instagram now. And others might just have a really large mailing list, or some clients have done Kickstarters. That's something that Heath is really good at. Like, he's the crowdfunding expert. But that can also be a great way to get exposure early in the process and put the word out there about your deck. And then what was the other one? So an example of someone who got started with almost no following whatsoever, for her, we really created a strategy around leveraging other people's audiences, which is what I highly recommend. Like if you're getting started with nothing, you know, networking with other creators, or this might look like submitting your deck for reviews on YouTube channels, and you know, whoever you resonate with. But there are a lot of YouTubers that do reviews on their channel, so you might just send them a deck and ask them if they could review your deck on their channel and get exposure in that way. And so she did a really good job of reaching out to the right people on YouTube and Instagram, and then also growing her following at the same time, while also actually making a lot of sales very quickly. And she created an Etsy store. She's been focusing there, and I mean, she became a star seller really quickly. And now she's working on her second deck. I think there was one more story that you mentioned. I can't remember which one now, but so these are just a couple of examples of what this could look like.
I love that. Thank you for sharing. Since you mentioned the crowdfunding, and we have Heath here really fast. Heath, can you just share briefly how a person can promote their deck through crowdfunding?
You repeat that because it cut out on the first part of it. I heard crowdfunding at the end.
Sorry about that. Heath, could you just quickly explain, like, how can a person successfully promote their deck through crowdfunding as a tool?
Yeah, it's a pretty deep subject. I think a good way to think about it in the beginning is why you would use something like crowdfunding. So when I started my first deck, I didn't really have an audience at all. I launched my first one on crowdfunding, and to me in the time, it was like super successful to raise the $9,000 that I raised. There was a lot of big things I learned from that very first campaign, because now I've launched three of them and I've raised over $200,000 total, one campaign being at $169,000 or something, somewhere around there. But on that first campaign, you know, like if you take into account, like let's just say you have a deck that costs you $5 to print and you raise $5,000 on your first crowdfunding campaign and you don't really have a huge audience. But if you raise $5,000, let's say the deck was priced at like $36 on the crowdfunding campaign. If you do the math, it comes out to like you're going to owe like 140 decks or something to that campaign, like 140 times 36 to get that 1,000, you know, units of decks. Hope I'm not making this too complicated. But you raised $5,000, so you actually have enough to print 1,000 decks, right? And you only owe 145 or so to the campaign. That leaves you with another 850 decks that are pre-sold and prepaid for, that you can then roll into other marketplaces like Amazon or Etsy, you know, your own personal Shopify sites or whatever, word of mouth, and they've already been paid for in the production. And then when you sell those other 850 decks over a period of time, you know, that can bring in another $25,000-$30,000 in revenue, which then can help support the next round of whether you're going to do another Kickstarter or another round of printing. So there's not only the, like the financial aspect of it, that's such a great thing if you can make it work. And you can, if you do the work. Like you can't just throw something up on a crowdfunding site and expect people to come and just give you money for it. Like there's a lot of stuff on the back end that you have to set up for it too, to make it successful. But you also get direct contact information to everybody who comes in as a fan and like supports you, and you can then contact them again on your next project. You can keep in touch. So there's so many benefits there. To make it successful, there's a lot involved. And I mean, it's a lot about what Anna's already talking. In the first campaign that I ever did, like the most successful thing that I could do then, because I didn't have a list of emails, was tell every single person I knew, right? And don't be afraid to lean on family and friends to help you get it kickstarted a little bit. The algorithm will actually boost you as you can show it that you can hit a specific goal. So if you only set your goal to like $3,000, but you can raise, you know, $1,000 or so within the first day of your campaign, then it will start showing it to other people and you might get some new strangers coming in and helping you get to that $3,000 tier, because that's the whole point of crowdfunding, is people really want to support you and help bring it to life. Because if you don't hit your goal, then it doesn't get funded and nobody gets their decks. So there's like a crowd momentum to it. That's really cool. But I remember then, like I was telling everybody I know, I made a massive list of like hundreds of people I've ever met. I'm like, I'm going to personally reach out to every one of these people and share this project and ask them to share it. And I even had like, I was in Portland at the time and I went and stood outside of like a massive bookstore there and I just passed out samples of the cards with a little sticker and the Kickstarter link on it. So people could actually get a card and be like, oh, I like this. Oh, there's actually a crowdfunding campaign going on for this. That's kind of cool. And as I've moved on to other campaigns, you know, like the second one that did the 160,000 or whatever, the majority of that was just my decision to move into actually using ads to promote the campaign. Because the beautiful thing about ads is it forces an audience, right? Like people are everywhere and the ad systems are like, now we can force your product in front of other people that actually will probably like it, because algorithms are really good to put it in front of people that really do, you know, probably want that product. We all know when we're on like Instagram or something, it's always showing me stuff that I want. I'm like, dang it, they got me, you know, like, so it's really effective, but you got to be careful with it too, because like you can blow a bunch of money and it might not convert. So there's a lot of technicality behind it, but from the aspect of just like personal touch, contacting to collaborations, like Anna's talking about, contacting YouTubers that have audiences. I did that on my second campaign a lot. I sent a bunch of deck samples out before the campaign, had them review the videos, and then, you know, gave them an affiliate link before the campaign went live, and they attached it to their videos, and just kind of really do the best to track where the audience is coming from. But I found that the majority of my success on the second one was through ads and piggybacking off the audience I had built from the first one. And then the third one was really successful too. It raised around $40,000. And it was like the state of the world was very different than it was during the second campaign. I mean, it's a lot harder. That one just ended recently. But, you know, my list, like the momentum from that really kickstarted it. And then I actually pulled the ads from that campaign really quick because they weren't working. So you learn something new every time. And it's really fascinating. Like I like to study other campaigns and see what they're doing. And there's just always something to learn. And I think it's such a great way to do it. If you can list out, you know, 50 to 250 people that you know that you think would support, and then also line up a couple people with audiences that would be willing to support it for you, and then maybe consider, you know, having a small ad budget or something, you can almost guarantee that you can hit like a small goal that you set for yourself and then be able to preprint your decks. So I hope that was able to answer your question in some format.
Yeah.
It's kind of long-winded.
No, I appreciate all the detail and how you explained everything. Yeah, that's great information. I have never had that perspective or even known anybody who's used like the crowdfunding. But then you also went into like the algorithm, and like I know that end of the world when it comes to like Etsy and the algorithm and momentum and how much you need to kind of get things moving. And so it's very interesting that it also applies to crowdfunding. So that's fascinating. Like, yeah, I can see that being, it's like you said, it's like a very in-depth topic, and that could be its own podcast episode in of itself. But I appreciate your perspective.
Yeah.
And just so we can wrap up, do you want to explain on the project that you guys are working on together? Is that something that you want to share, Anna? Or
yes, absolutely. I was hoping to get an opportunity to share, because we do have a landing page up now. Right now it's just a simple landing page, but you can add your name to our waiting list if it sounds interesting. But I'll just share a little bit about what we're creating. So the idea first came to me in 2022, about 1.5 years ago. I just, you know, I was at a point in my business where I was fully booked, and getting a lot of inquiries and not able to take more clients because I had such a long waiting list. And I just felt like, okay, there needs to be, okay, I did have the course, but I felt like I needed or I wanted something in between, you know, where I could still offer more support and more personalized support without needing to do the hands-on work for everyone. So I had the idea to create kind of a mastermind container where more people could come in and we kind of have, you know, the teaching modules to guide everyone through the process, but then also the more personalized support through community access. And, you know, you can ask questions anytime and we're here to answer questions, offer feedback, and maybe also look at, you know, whatever designs they're working on and just offer some suggestions for improving things and so on. And then also with some live support, so Q&A calls on Zoom, so we can also interact live in that way and offer some actual coaching around your project. And I knew though pretty much immediately that it wasn't a project that I should be doing on my own. I felt like I needed to find someone to collaborate with. And then Heath magically showed up about half a year later. So we've been talking for about a year now and just feeling into the vision. And now we're at a point where we're actually starting to build it and we have the platform set up and we're just about to start creating the course content. And so there's going to be a complete walkthrough, like a create a deck course, basically, similar to what I already have, but we're going to add some more content and update it based on what we've learned in the meantime. And then Heath is also part of the project now, so he can offer some of the wisdom and knowledge that I don't have or where I don't have as much experience. He's going to contribute a complete course on the crowdfunding aspect too. And then probably at some point, we're also going to go into selling on Amazon, those types of things. But so it's going to be a very interactive community. We're hoping to bring a lot of people into the community. So, you know, we can really leverage that community aspect. And it's also going to be a great way to network and create connections for, you know, there are so many possibilities. We're also going to like bring other creatives and maybe even, you know, freelance artists and designers who might be interested in supporting our clients with their work. So it's going to be kind of a way of connecting people from different, like on different parts of the journey to, really support everyone and what they're looking for and what they're wanting to create. I'll just quickly mention the link as well. If you are interested in joining us and learning when we're officially ready to launch, you can go to deckcreators.com. Is that it? Deckcreators.com. So you can add your name and email there and sign up for our waiting list,
if you will.
Frolic, please frolic to the website.
I think that the most awesome. Exciting thing I'm for so me excited is about this. Yeah, I think the most exciting thing for me is just the idea, because as Anna and I both, like, there was a point when we were just completely separate and had, you know, universal messages coming through like, you should make this deck. I mean, for me it was very much like, I didn't know what I was in meditations and I was like, you should make affirmation decks. And I didn't even know what they were. And I was like, okay, I'm trying to follow up my brain, like what's coming through my brain. And at that moment, you're like, how do you start? There's so much out there, like the manufacturing in itself, the design, like there's so many details and intricate things to not only just like write and compose content and copy and then like put it into design. And then how do you find a manufacturer? Like, what is the manufacturing logistics like coming in? Like, what do you do once it comes in? Like, do you need a warehouse? Can you do it yourself? How do you distribute that to different marketplaces? How do you sell it? You know, that's like a huge one. And we both separately didn't have anybody teaching us that. And we've kind of walked parallel paths of like figuring this out on our own. And then, you know, 8 years later, like we're able to collide with each other and be like,
that's
oh,
great. That's
like, we've been doing the same
thing.
Like
you're going to offer so much value in this community between both of your experiences.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, I hope so. I think what I was going to say is I'm excited about is like, it's not only just teaching, but it's all the things that we're going to get to learn by bringing so many different creative minds into one space that all have their own ideas. Like, that's so fascinating to me. And I think it's going to be very family style, you know, and there's going to be so many people that have all these different skill sets. And I know, maybe we'll even do like a collective deck as a group and launch it on a crowdfunding campaign. You know, like there's so many different ideas, but yeah, it's exciting.
That's dope. I like the collective deck idea.
That just came through right now. So maybe that's a good idea.
I love that idea.
I never thought of that before.
I like it. As soon as you said it, I was like, ooh, a collective deck. What is that going to look and feel like? So
it'd be cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, this has been amazing and very educational. I've learned a lot about the process of creating an Oracle deck. I thought I had done a lot of research already, but I enjoyed the much deeper dive and the impromptu guest with Heath here and learning about this new thing that you guys are launching and the fact that you already have a landing page and people can go to deckcreators.com and start signing up there to receive more information. Any final words, Anna, from you before we wrap up here for those who are wanting to birth these decks?
I think there's always so much more to share. But what I just wanted to mention too, like for anyone who's interested in working with me privately or even with us as a team, you could also go to wonderlandpublishing.net and find a lot of information there. I have like a free guide that you can get on my website that kind of briefly explains the process of creating your own deck and getting it published and printed. And there's also a lot of content on my blog where you can kind of get started and just do some research, get some inspiration. But yeah, other than that, I always like to say, follow your bliss, your creative bliss, your inspiration. If you really have an idea in your heart, and that's something I hear from a lot of people, like I've been wanting to do this for so long and I've just been feeling so stuck and I don't know where to get started. And I feel so confused. Like there's so many moving pieces. But the most important thing is if you really have, you know, that dream in your heart, whatever it might be, you know, listen to that and really allow yourself to explore that and go for it and just put it into the world. And if you need the support, and if you're feeling stuck, then get the support you need. But most importantly, follow your creative heart.
Thank you for that. That's beautiful. And Heath, any final words to before we wrap up here for those who are new on their journey?
I think back to maybe 12 years ago when I was trying to find my path through like a really dark time, and I ended up talking to this amazing man named Sohrab Virmont, who was a Hollywood director, but he had just won the New York International Film Festival. And he told me, he's like, man, just slow down and enjoy something beautiful. You know, every day is a bonus round. And I don't know how many, it's been very few days that have gone by since then where I haven't thought about the aspect of every day being a bonus round and just slowing down. And like Anna said, follow your creative heart and enjoy something beautiful. So that's all.
I love that. Thank you so much. Thank you. All right, folks, it is a wrap. I'm going to add all of the links that they mentioned to the show notes. Definitely go over to the Wonderland Publishing so you can see all of the beautiful decks that Anna has helped birth, because I know that I've truly enjoyed just scrolling through the website and looking at all these amazing decks, and I personally want them all. I also really want to thank you guys for inspiring me to take seriously my desire to create my own deck. And in preparing for this interview, I had an idea for a deck that I had never crossed my mind whatsoever up until this morning. I had other ones in the back burner, two other ones, but something out of left field popped up for me. And I was like, oh, wow, feeling really excited. So please don't go anywhere after I hit the stop record button, y'all. Okay. And for those of you listening, again, please rate, subscribe, review the podcast, share this podcast. If you know someone who really wants to create and publish their own Oracle deck. And that's about it. Thank you for being here. Okay.